Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Our word today comes from the book of John, the gospel according to John, chapter 11. I'm going to start with the first verse, but I may read this, pretty much most of this particular passage regarding Lazarus. Okay. I have my reasons, so bear with me, okay? Mm-hmm. I'll start with verse 1. Gospel according to John, verse 11. Mm-hmm. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Mm-hmm. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judah." Now I want to skip to verse 17. Mm-hmm. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Mm-hmm. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Mary, Martha and Mary, to comfort them in the loss of their brother. Mm-hmm. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet with him. But Mary stayed at the house. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Mm-hmm. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now I want to go to verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mm-hmm. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved and troubled in spirit. Mm-hmm. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "How long? See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Now go to verse 43. Mm-hmm. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." I want to speak today on the topic, "What would Jesus do?" Mm-hmm. To understand what Jesus would do, you must understand the why. Why did Jesus do anything? What was his motivation? What was his reasoning? Everything, and I do mean everything, that Jesus did was the will of God. Mm-hmm. That was the why. That was his motivation. And that was the reason why he did anything. Mm-hmm. When he healed people, It was all the timing and the will of God. Mm-hmm. Lazarus is a good example of that very thing. Mm-hmm. You see, Jesus had a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Had one then, he has one now. Mm-hmm. In John 11, Jesus found out that Lazarus was sick, but waited a few days before going to be with Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, right? Jesus now, being who he was, he could have just simply spoken a word immediately and Lazarus would have been healed and not dead, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus loved Lazarus, but God did not want Jesus to heal him, but to awaken him from the dead after he was dead. God has a timing for everything. When Jesus did go see Lazarus, he was already in a tomb for 4 days. Jesus brought him back to life. Now, had Jesus asked, what would God do, right? Mm-hmm. And healed him versus bringing him back from the dead, this story would have had a whole different ending and a whole different version. Yeah. And it would not have shown the true power of God through Jesus. Jesus had already healed many in the past, and he was known as a healer.
That's right.
But bringing someone back from the dead was new territory. God got glorified by the awakening of Lazarus that would have been lost if Jesus would have gone with his gut and healed his friend. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Jesus knows God and did everything according to God's will. He traveled when God led him, he healed when he was directed to, and he did everything as God planned him to do. Mm-hmm. Now you ask yourself, what does any of this have to do with us, right? Right. I'm going to tie it together. Well, the topic today is what will Jesus do? Mm-hmm. That very words, what would Jesus do, has become a catchphrase. We see what would Jesus do on bumper stickers. Mm-hmm. We see it on clothing. Yeah. I saw a hat that had WWJD on it. Mm-hmm. And people ask themselves this question sometimes. And we ask ourselves that question mm-hmm. sometimes. You know, like, what would Jesus do?
That's right.
We want to know what Jesus would do in our lives as Christians. But do we really know what Jesus would do? Mm-hmm. That's the big question. To know what Jesus would do, we must understand a few things. God doesn't think like we do. Jesus doesn't think like we do either. What we think is right could be wrong. And what we think is wrong could be right. Let me give you a couple of examples, if I may. We see people that appear to be homeless or on hard times standing on the street corners asking for money, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do we ever stop to think that some of those people are scammers that pose as homeless people to get money? Do I also stop to consider that others may have a drug or alcohol dependency and the money that you give them will continue their habit? We tell ourselves that this is what Jesus would do by giving the money, right? But we never ask Jesus before we give it.
Wow.
We could be giving to the wrong person because we failed to get clarity from Jesus. Mm-hmm. See, doing works that appear good to us without asking Jesus is not what Jesus would do. Okay? Mm-hmm. Another example is prayer. We all know that praying for others is a good thing, right? Well, we must remember that what God thinks is good, we think that it is bad. A person may be going through a hard time, and we want to help by praying for them or praying with them, right? That is what Jesus would do, right? That's what we tell ourselves. But we never ask Jesus what we should be praying for. We just ask God to take away their problems. Has it ever occurred to us that God is the one in control. He's allowing these problems in their lives so they can learn and grow from it. God sees their problems as a teachable moment in their lives, while we only see it as a problem. Okay? Like I said, God sees things as good when we see things as bad. When we are praying to God to remove their problems, then we are interfering with the will of God. I did a sermon recently on the perfect prayer. Our prayer when praying for others with problems should be to ask for God's will in their lives. God already knows what they're going through. Okay? Praying for others and asking that God removes their problems is not what Jesus would do. Now, I just gave a few examples, but life, as you know, is one decision after another.
That is so true.
A decision for one may not be as important to you as it is to them, and vice versa, right?
Right.
We ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in trying to make the right decision that won't impact us negatively somewhere down the road, right? We make decisions. We make decisions thinking that this is what Jesus would do. Occasionally, we're right. But a lot of times, we're wrong. So the question becomes, why are we wrong? Why did we make the wrong decision? Was the decision the choice Jesus would have made, right? WWJD. The answer to that question is simple, as told in John 11. See, Jesus knew God. He had a relationship with him. His thoughts was his thoughts. Amen?
Yep.
And therefore, Jesus knew that any decision he made would be exactly what God wanted, because they were tight. You know what I'm saying? They were tight. Jesus did not heal a sick Lazarus, but waited until he died to bring him back to life. That was the correct decision, because that decision was the will of God and for his glory. Would you agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we know Jesus, we would not have to even ask, what would Jesus do?
Mm-hmm.
Because we would already know what Jesus would do. If we have a relationship with Jesus, we will know him and would not have to speculate what would Jesus do. The world must ask, what would Jesus do? Because they do not know him. It is the duty of every Christian, every last one of us, to get to know Jesus for their own personal Savior. Once you have a relationship with Jesus, your decision making and your behavior will change, and you will automatically start doing what Jesus would do.
Mm-hmm.
The term what Jesus would do would become obsolete in your life. Now, let's think about this for a moment, if I may, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great to make the correct decision all of the time? Can you imagine that? Never have to make the wrong decision? Wouldn't it be great to not have to second guess a decision that you made? Wouldn't it be great wouldn't it be great to have a decision not come back to you and bite you?
Yeah.
We all know what that's like. You make a decision, and a year later, or even a couple of years later, like you get a job, or a day later. I've had it happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's come, a decision I have made has come back and bit me right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be great to have that kind of relationship with Jesus, where you would know what he would do? Wouldn't it be gracious to know Jesus that well, where you would never have to ask, what would Jesus do? And you would just do what Jesus would do. That's the ultimate goal of a Christian. To know what Jesus would do instead of thinking about what would he do. Mm-hmm. It is God's will that every Christian gets to know Christ to that magnitude. If you have a relationship with him, it's time that you take it up one level. Take it up to the point where you will know what Jesus would do, mm-hmm. and you would never have to ask again. Mm-hmm. I promise you, this word came not from me, but from God. Mm-hmm. And he's saying today that he's looking for a people that's going to seek his son and get to know him so well that they will know what he will do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come. Thank you for this word. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father, for using me to do it. Father, we repent for all the times that we tried to make decisions on our own without knowing your son. We ask forgiveness, Lord. Father, draw us closer to you. Draw us closer to Jesus so we'll know what he would do. Because he does only what he sees you do, Father. And we want to be the same way. Help us to develop our relationship even stronger between us and Jesus. Yeah. Father, we need you, Lord. We need you. Help us, oh Lord, in this endeavor. Father, we are truly tired of making decisions that come back to bite us. Yes. We are seriously tired, Father, of wondering, is this the thing to do? Our life is so full of decisions, Lord, we want to be able to know that when we make one, it is the correct one. Amen. Father, we can do nothing without you. Help us, oh Lord, we pray. Father, I pray that this word will be heard by many. May your word glorify you, and may you draw those that you desire to hear this word, Father, so that they can develop that relationship with Jesus, and they'll know what Jesus would do. Yes, Father, we thank you again. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.